Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 26, and you may find that on page 106 of the Pew Bible. John chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that as Christ is our Savior, we follow his example. That we know that in order to spread the good news, we must serve. So, Lord, I pray that you will place it in all of our hearts to be servants. And, Lord, I pray that as I bring forth the message this morning, that it truly is your message. May our hearts and minds be open to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our scripture from Thessalonians this morning, Paul doesn't directly tell us what a Christian's responsibilities are, but he does telling us that doing nothing is not an option, that we can't be idle believers. He shares with the people of Thessalonica that they did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. They did their part when he was with them so that he would not be a burden. He is telling them that they need to do their share of the work as well and never be tired of doing what is right. Jesus talks about the fact that in order for us to truly serve him, we must die to ourselves. We are all at different places in our faith journey. But regardless of where we are, we should all be looking at where God wants us to be. We should all be looking at how it is that God is calling us as individuals as well as his children, his body of Christ together. Maybe right now he is calling you to be part of a small group which will help you as you grow in your faith. Maybe he is calling you to lead a small group where you can grow in your faith while helping others grow in their faith. Maybe he wants you out into the community showing others his love. Maybe he wants you to be reaching out to those of this community who are not here. If we belong to Jesus, he wants us to do something in his name. He wants us to work so that he can be glorified. I think we need to look at where we may be on our faith journeys. I have a friend. He needed major surgery. And he said to God, "God, if you get me through this surgery, I promise I will serve you." He made it through the surgery. He recovered. And he attempted several times to go into the ministry. He promised God, "If you get me through this surgery, I will serve you." But as he went before the boards, he kept being turned down. Now let me explain to you, to be a United Methodist pastor, there are 50 plus steps you have to go through. And you have to go before boards. And myself, because I'm a local licensed pastor, I have to continue to go before a board every year to be approved to continue in ministry. Well, as he was turned down time and time again, he questioned God bringing him through that surgery. Because he had said to God, God, if you get me through this surgery, I will serve you. The reason I even tell you this story is because for a period of time, my friend was an if Christian. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But what he eventually came to realize is you don't barter with God. See, in his mind, he had it all figured out. He figured if God got him through this surgery, then he was going to serve him as a United Methodist pastor. That was the deal he had made in his mind. However, what he came to realize was that was not what God wanted of him. God was not calling him to be a pastor. And once he totally surrendered himself to God, without his notions, without his bartering, God led him to where God wanted him to serve. And he continues to serve God today without any restrictions in that service. But I'd like us to look at ourselves. Do we ever say, Lord, if? One of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird. How many of you have ever read To Kill a Mockingbird? It's also a movie, a very old movie. Have any of you ever seen the movie? It's a great movie, too. Well, in the movie, Scout is thinking about her childhood. She remembers a man who came to see her lawyer father one morning with hickory nuts. She says to this man, I will go and get my father, to which the man responds, oh no, that isn't necessary. But she does. She goes and she gets her father, and her father comes down, and he thanks the man for what he had brought the week before, which, to be honest with you, I don't remember what that was, and thanks him for the hickory nuts. After he leaves, Scout says to her father, why does this man bring you all this stuff? Her father explained that the man was poor, and that was the only way he could pay. See, the man probably would not have brought Attorney Finch anything if it were not for the work the attorney had done for him. Sometimes I think, as Christians, we think that's how it is with our relationship with God. We do because of what God has done for us. We come to church on Sunday mornings because isn't that what is expected of us? We put our offerings in the collection plate because isn't that what is expected of us? We bring forth prayer concerns and we lift up a prayer on Sunday morning because isn't that what we are supposed to do? Isn't that what is expected of us? Christ came into the world. He lived as a human being. He died a criminal's death for our sin. He rose so that you and I could have eternal life. Because of this, we have to do something, right? So we attempt to pay God back by doing these acts of attendance and collection and prayer. And not that those acts are not good things. We are to gather together. We're told that in Scripture. God tells us that we are to tithe. And we most definitely are to be in prayer. Jesus has set that example time and time again for us. But what God wants most is our hearts. And if our hearts truly belong to God, we're going to want to join together with our brothers and sisters. We're going to want to give from our hearts to benefit the needs of others. And we're going to want to pray, because it's through prayer that we stay in that personal relationship with the Savior of the world. So let us ask ourselves, why do we attend? Why do we give? Why do we pray? Is it just because it's expected? Then we have those on the faith journey who never really look to themselves, but they're always looking to the Lord. They're always seeking where and what it is that God has for them, how it is that He is calling them to serve. They work at sharing the good news, and they work at growing their own faith and helping others grow in theirs. Their faith leads them to do all that they can to share the gospel and to bring honor and glory to the Lord. They praise the Lord whether they're high on a mountaintop or whether they're in the deepest valley. They seek to reach out and help others regardless of what they themselves are going through. They give of their time when someone is in need, regardless of if it keeps them from doing something that they enjoy. They find ways to be involved in the life of the church, whether they like the pastor or not. They live for the Lord, regardless of what others think and say about them. They support the ministries of the church, regardless of if they are in agreement with them all or not. They give of their gifts, regardless if it means that maybe they have to give up a night for a meal out in a restaurant. In other words, they want to live like Christ. So regardless of what they must put aside, they are willing to do what it means to be faithful to the call of God. Why? Because they know God's love, grace, and forgiveness for their own lives. And they want others to know that love and grace and forgiveness for theirs. Do we say, God, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I want, I will put all of that aside to follow you? See, we're all at different places in this faith journey. But we are not alone. That doesn't mean that the time on this journey means that we can't grow together. That's why God has brought us here. He has brought us together so that we can help one another. We should see that we are growing in our faith. And we should see that we are moving forward in this journey to the cross. So as our spiritual lives and our relationship with Christ grows, we should be seeing a change in our hearts and in our living. See, it'll become less about us and more about Jesus. But you know what? No matter the reason we are here, No matter where we are on our faith journey, we are here for one another. We are here to help each other grow. We are here to hold the hand of our brother and our sister. We are here to build the kingdom of God. But we need to go outside of these four walls to do that. But God calls us to do that together. So how is it God is calling us? No matter where we are on our faith journey, how is he calling us as individuals, and how is he calling us as the Wesley United Methodist Church to take the love of Jesus beyond these four walls? Amen.